No risk it, no biscuit.
Arizona Cardinals fans, do you see red? Are you part of the Red Sea? Then you are listening to the show for you, a podcast for Cardinals fans, by Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider perspectives. It's time to rise up and see red. Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. This is episode 186. It's our free agent reaction show. Or wait, might be actually 187. I'm not sure. Episode 180-something at this point. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site covering the Arizona Cardinals. My co-host is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the Arizona Cardinals team site for SB Nation. And Seth, we've got... It's our free agent show. Well, we talked quarterbacks last week because the Cardinals knew who their quarterbacks were, and now we've got some other signings to talk about. So, what is your initial reaction to the free agent moves that the Cardinals have made so far?
You know, it's interesting, and it addressed everything that we talked about in our preview show. And then I think that it just leaves you having more questions, and that's okay. I mean, that's not a bad thing. But I think now you're sitting here going, okay, what's next? Because everything they did is set up well for 2018, but it still leaves everything in question for 2019. And we knew going into to free agency that they weren't in a financial position to really get, you know, to make a play into 2019, 2020 type thing. But it's interesting that they addressed almost all their needs, and yet I still feel like they haven't addressed anything at all, because I think they still have the same needs.
It does look that way. They're taking care of quarterback. They've taken care of some stuff on the offensive line. They haven't done a whole lot else. I mean, they re-signed Josh Bynum. So let's kind of run down what we know about, and what we're going to talk about this show. We're going to react to the signings and the things that we know about financially about their contracts. We're going to talk about some of the guys that have left, and we're going to talk about what do the Cardinals still need to do, and kind of look at the cap space and things like that moving forward. So these are the moves that we know the Cardinals have made thus far. Numero uno would be Sam Bradford. They signed him, 2-year deal. He's the starting quarterback. They signed Mike Glennon to a 2-year deal. We're going to talk about the financials there in a bit. They signed a pair of offensive linemen, tackle Andre Smith and guard Justin Pugh. Andre Smith to a 2-year deal. Justin Pugh is the big contract. 5 years. They signed him for 5 years. And then they re-signed Josh Bynum, one of the players they wanted to bring back. And then they, as in a very understated move, they were awarded linebacker Jeremy Cash off of waivers, a guy who has had a couple of stints with the Panthers, does some work on special teams. And in terms of what the Cardinals have done in free agency, that basically wraps it up. They released Tyrann Mathieu. They released Josh Morrow. They released Adrian Peterson. And in a nutshell, that's what we've seen in free agency from the Cardinals. So let's talk about the individuals that they've signed and the financials to go about. Now, we talked about the quarterback specifically last week. We talked about the signing for Bradford. We talked about the signing of Glennon. But let's talk about their contracts, because now we have the details. So what we have for Sam Bradford is it's a 2-year deal. There's no dummy year on the end like I thought maybe last week there might be. It's $10 million up front as a signing bonus, $5 million salary, and then another $5 million possible in 2018 based on games that he is active. Then in 2019, there's a $10 million roster bonus that they will Well, basically, it's the decision time. Do they cut him? Do they keep him? $10 million roster bonus. He gets, I think it's $7.5 million in a salary, and then another. What was it? It was another $5 million, or was it $2.5 million? In I think it's $2.5 million for roster bonuses based on games, which by the way is a very common thing that the Cardinals have done with their contracts the last couple of years. It's not usually the extent, but it's very common for the Cardinals of the last couple of years to add that roster bonus. Usually it's $500,000, and so for every game that they're active, it's $31,250 that they get, and so it's another $500,000 for active. So it's a little bit of injury protection, but the Cardinals get good injury protection when it comes to Bradford. So he's guaranteed his $5 million salary. He's going to get $15 million this year, and then however much more he plays will determine what his actual cap hit is and how much he's actually paid. He could get another $1 million each of those 2 years if they win the Super Bowl, which Cardinals will be glad to pay that out if that's the case. As it is right now, his contract starts out that there's a little bit of confusion as to what is believed, is because on the cap websites and over the cap and spot track, it shows that Bradford's cap hit right now is $10.6 million. From how I understand it, it's actually, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, that it actually is $10 million right now with the potential of being all the way up to $15 million. So when you talked about it last week, I talked about it last week. We knew that the contract was not all that bad because it, you know, even at the $20 million a year average, that still put him right dead in the middle or just below the middle in terms of average salary as a quarterback. What's your reaction? Good contract?
It's a fair contract. They protected themselves from what hopefully is not the inevitable with Bradford. You hope his injuries concerns are behind him, but it protects them in case it's not. And that's the important thing that they had to do in this contract. You look at it, it's basically a $15 million contract in the sense that he got $10 million in signing bonus, so the Cardinals could spread $5 million out over next year for salary cap implications. And then, you know, he's got $5 million in guaranteed base salary on top of that. And so they're on the hook for $10 million. And that's basically it for this year. And then every game he plays, he gets $300 and some odd thousand dollars, rounding out to $5 million if he plays in all 16 games. With Sam Bradford, that's literally the only thing you can do. I mean, the only thing you can do with Sam Bradford. And here's the thing. If he hits the $20 million mark, which he can't hit $20 million, but if he hits the $20 million mark in salary, next year, you know, technically they pay him $25 million next year. Now, that's more what you have to worry about than this year. But like you said, if he gets to that, that imaginary $20 million mark this year, he's done everything the Cardinals want. The Cardinals are likely a 7-9 win team, maybe more. They've had a nice season. They've kept a quarterback that's perpetually injured, not injured, and they've likely established themselves as a very aggressive running team that has a very accurate and conservative quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over. And for that, is $15 million a good deal? Absolutely. That's this year, though, and that's what you have to look at it as, is this year. If you're paying $15 million for Sam Bradford this year, it's a good deal. 2019, we can talk about it if and when that bridge needs to be crossed. But for 2018, they're only paying him $15 million. There's not a penny more that they will pay him. He'll get $5 million more in 2019, but he's not getting a penny more than $15 million unless, like you said, they win the Super Bowl. So in that case, $15 million for Sam Bradford is kind of a steal, because you're really only paying that $15 million if he plays all 16 games.
Right. And so in terms of cap hit, you're looking between 10 and 15 million. That's about the best you could expect. I mean, if they didn't get Bradford, it was going to be what?
AJ Josh, McCarron. But here's the thing. McCarron. Josh McCown is 10 million up to 15 million, right?
Yep.
AJ McCarron is 5 million up to 15 million. Teddy Bridgewater is 5 million up to 15. All of those guys were up to 15 million. Again, the negative part of the contract for Sam Bradford is 100% the 2019 season, but that's if he makes it through 2018 unscathed. That's the only way. And again, we're not even going to cross that bridge right now, but that's the only, I mean, that's literally the only negative that you can come out of with this, is that if Sam Bradford comes out unscathed, gets them, let's just say they win 8 games again. Let's just say, for the argument's sake, that they win 8 games again, then you're in a tough spot because you're on the hook for technically $25 million next year of Sam Bradford. Then you have to start having a discussion. But at least you got to the point where you're going to want to have the discussion and you're not just going, all right, we're ready to cut him, right? I mean, that's what you're hoping for. And if the Cardinals pay $15 million for that in 2018, that's a great deal.
Well, and even if he stays on the Russell – perfect scenario, like worst case financial scenario. He plays next year and he plays all 16 games. It's still a $25 million cap hit. And in today's NFL, $25 million cap hit is not that. I mean, that's what they had last year with Carson Palmer, essentially. What was it, 24 something?
24. And that's the thing is with 25, with the contracts for Cousins, Garoppolo, and soon to be Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Drew Brees took a bit of a discount, you know, to go back to New Orleans. But, you know, he's probably going to be in the 10 to 12 range in terms of salary.
Yeah, and so it's fine. It's fine. And so I have no problem with it. The Cardinals obviously targeted him. From what I was told by someone who says, again, most of what I hear is secondhand, but the Cardinals made an offer for Kirk Cousins because they were in it, but they knew, like, the weekend before free agency started that they weren't going to get Kirk Cousins. They were still going to make their offer. They were, in fact, the first to make a phone call into Cousins' agent, according to Peter King. But they were of the three teams that made an offer. They fell behind to both. So they fell behind Minnesota in terms of competition, and they fell behind New York in terms of money. So they never really had a chance. So they had already turned their attention toward Bradford before the weekend, and were focusing on him before moving down to those other quarterbacks. That their contract's fine. Mike Glennon's an interesting one. We don't have all the details yet, though we do know something. It's been announced as a 2-year deal. However, when the NFLPA website, which you can for media members, they can go and look up the base salary reports for players whose contracts are processed. It was a surprise for me and for several other people when we looked up Mike Glennon's contract, and there's 4 years listed: $1 million this year, $2.5 million next year, then $4 million for 2020 and 2021. Which this lends us to believe, okay, that was a little bit of cap finagling. So it looks like they have that Mike Glennon has 2 dummy years on the back end of his contract, much like Nick Foles does for Philadelphia. He's got 2 dummy years on his contract, which they exist for salary cap purposes, but they don't exist for anything else, because if he's on the roster, he's those years void. And so it's a 2-year, $8 million contract. And he's getting paid $1 million in 2018. He's getting paid $2.5 million in 2019, which leaves $4.5 million of those 2 years that isn't there. So either it's $4.5 million in a signing bonus, or what I speculate is $4 million in a signing bonus and maybe a $500,000 either workout bonuses, $250K each one, or $500,000 in roster bonuses, or maybe at the beginning of the league year next year, he gets another $500,000. I'll assume, well, if we go with a $4 million signing bonus, what it does, it means that his cap hit this year is likely only $2 million. And then next year, that will go up to $3.5 million, maybe $4 million. And then after that, there's going to be $2 million in dead money. It was just a way to spread out that signing bonus over 4 years, or actually 3 years, because you're going to have 1 year, 1 year, then the dead, because it's voided. It basically just creates $2 million in dead money for 2020, unless they decide to redo the deal and turn those voided years into real years.
Right. And again, if you turn those voided years into real years, you're probably doing so because he had to step in for Bradford and then did well, right? So it's not like you're going to just turn those into, I mean, unless they're just identifying him as Drew Stanton at this point and saying, look, he's our backup that we trust going forward, which we've talked about. I mean, he's a nice guy to have on the roster in terms of veteran experience in games, a true type of game manager that isn't going to go out there and make mistakes, you know, a low interception total throughout his career. It's one of those things where he's probably going to want another chance to start. But he also, I mean, he's getting up there. What is he, 28 now? So at the end of this contract, he'll be 30 years old.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's exactly young and hasn't had an opportunity. He's just kind of not done well in the opportunities he's been given.
Exactly. So we go down to the next guy, and that would be Andre Smith. He was one of the first ones to be announced, or at least before the team did announce it. The team announced a bulk of contract signings all at once. He gets a 2-year deal, which is worth $8 million. But he, again, he's another one where the Cardinals didn't take a lot of financial risk. His signing bonus is $2.5 million, and that's all that's guaranteed. So he's going to make $915,000 this year, and he's got another $500,000 in there based on playing time, or based on games active. Not technically playing time, but games in which he's active. So $31,250 per game that he is active. Again, like I said, that's something the Cardinals have been doing for a lot of players over the last couple of years. So he will count, if he's active every game in 2018, he will count just more than $2.7 million. That's reasonable. And if he's active every game in 2019, then he will count $5.3 million against the cap, which that's kind of bargain when you're talking about a decent right tackle. So assuming all else, because remember, you probably remember, Seth, a couple of years ago when we heard the rumor that Andre Smith was coming to visit the Cardinals, and he ultimately went with the Vikings. Then he only played 4 games, and then he went back to Cincinnati. Then he didn't play in every game. So it looks like he's the guy that they want to have start, but it doesn't look like they're committing a lot to him, almost as if maybe they're going to target a tackle in the draft who could step in at some point this year, maybe.
Right, and you can target a tackle in round one. I know that wouldn't make fans happy, but you can target a tackle in round one. And there's a lot of good tackles on round two and three in this draft where you would likely prefer them in round two and three. You know, Mike McGlinchey and Connor Williams are kind of the big names, but they're really more like round two type guys.
Miller, Orlando Brown. There's some, they're not wow names, but
they're solid pieces. They're solid
players.
Yeah. And so that's the thing that you look at with the right tackle position. The more interesting kind of thing to follow at this point is they still have Jared Valdir on the roster, right? Like, everybody assumed when Mike Iupati took a pay cut, he didn't take a renegotiation. He just took a straight pay cut that, okay, well, see you later, Jared Valdir. And here we are, what, about, I mean, technically 5 days by the time this plays, 5 days into free agency, and he's still on the roster, which leaves you to speculate something interesting.
Yes, and I believe what this is, the Cardinals must be trying to trade him. This is a conversation I had with one of our with John Gambadoro this morning, Tuesday morning. They talked about it on the radio. He actually put in a text. He says that he asked if the team could trade Veldier, and they said maybe. I think it's kind of certain. If they had no intention of keeping him in the roster and he had no trade value to them, I think he'd be cut already. You'd free up that $6.9 million in cap space, and then you move on. But he is an able left tackle. He's an above average left tackle. He has versatility now, having to be able to play right tackle. And we just saw the Buffalo Bills turn one of their two first round picks and Cordy Glenn and move up 9 spots. I'm not saying that they can move up the same amount. Cordy Glenn is younger. Cordy Glenn has more years left on his contract and has I'm assuming that based on people consider Cordy Glenn still probably a notch above Veldier in terms of ability at left tackle. And so maybe you're not going to be able to do that, but whether you could include him, if the Cardinals wish to trade up, if they're going to somehow trade up in this draft, which is going to be costly, they can include Veldier in part of that. So to lessen the cost of the draft picks. And if draft day comes around and they're not able to move up in round one, they could also just parlay him for maybe a third round pick or a fourth round pick, something so they get something instead of just releasing him, because he is going to have value somewhere. Or as we were talking before the show, if they don't end up, I've been speculating, I think we're going to get, we need to get ourselves prepared for Mason Rudolph either trading back. But maybe they trade up into the end of the first round, and they can use Veldier as part of that deal as well. So I'm convinced that the Veldier's got to be trade bait, and we won't know until draft day if that's going to happen.
And that makes sense. And it's one of those things where you look at what the Cardinals are doing. They're exploring all their options. They're trying to get something done. You know, they're wanting to get something for a player that probably still has some value in terms of the NFL, but probably doesn't have as much value to them. And that's different, honestly. Like, usually if a player is valuable, they're valuable, right? But with Andre Smith, with
DJ Humphreys,
with John Wetzel, with Will Holden, with all these guys, you know, it's all things that don't make sense in terms of just getting rid of him, because you've already invested. And there's, I don't know if you read it today, but Jeff Schwartz on, I believe it was SB Nation, but it might have been a different site, wrote an article that talked about how these old tackles are getting more paydays because of how bad the tackles are coming out of college. And so there's got to be value somewhere for Jordan Veldier. So the Cardinals, whether it's a third round pick or in lieu of a third round pick in terms of a trying to trade up, or whether it's, I mean, hell, if they get a fourth round pick, that's still more than they would get just releasing him. And exactly. So doing anything to get him, to get something for him is important at this point.
And the next contract on this list would be Justin Pugh. So Justin Pugh, the Cardinals have, in the past, in year one for Steve Keim, it was the big 5-year deal for Jared Veldier. The next year, or rather in 2014, Jared Veldier. 2015, it was Mike Iupati. They haven't given big money out to an offensive lineman for a little while, but they did it again. They didn't put they didn't do what they did with Veldier and Iupati, which kind of put them right at the very top of paying for their position. However, However, they sign him for 5 years, just a few thousand dollars over $45 million. Not a bad deal, especially with the potential that he has. But the structure of the contract is also very good, because there is a total of, you know, of that $45 million. You know, there's $500,000 in injury protection for this year. There's $750,000 in an injury protection in 2019, and then it's $1 million each year thereafter. 5 years, $45 million. He gets $10 million up front in his signing bonus. He's getting $1 million in salary, and then he gets a $250,000 workup bonus each year. That's a nice, that's kind of a nice way to get a little bit of extra cash there in the spring. But essentially what I broke it down on one of my articles on Cards Wire. So his cap hit over the next few years, it starts ballooning. It does. But based on what we're seeing in the NFL, the way salaries are going up at on the offensive line, particularly even at guard, it's ballooning. So this year, his cap hit's going to be somewhere between $3.25 and $3.75 million, depending on how many games he's active. In 2019, his salary goes up from $1 million to $5 million. He gets up to $750,000. So his cap hit's going to be between $7.25 and $8 million. Okay, not bad. 2020, starts getting pricey. His salary is $7.25 million. His cap hit's going to be between $9.5 and $10.5 million. 2021, his salary goes up another $500,000. His cap hit's between $10 and $11 million, depending on at games he's active. And then his last year, $8.5 million salary, cap hit between $10.75 and $11.75 million for the cap hit there.
Yeah, and when you look at the player, and I know this is kind of always tough to pull out of this, but when you look at the player, when healthy, Justin Pugh has been a top seven left guard in the NFL. And so there are some questions that you have to ask about this. The first one is, he's played left guard and right tackle in his career. Well, you just paid Andre Smith. We just talked about Jared Valdir. So it's highly unlikely, I guess you could say, he's going to play right tackle at this moment, unless they're thinking about moving Andre Smith into right guard, and then they do something with Jared Valdir. But, and so then the question becomes, what happens at right guard? Is this Pugh's spot, or are they going to take career left guard Mike Iupati and move him over to right guard? And then, with all of that, that's where the questions are with Pugh. Yes, he's got injury concerns. I Jess and I are aware. You don't have to tell us. It's unfortunate, but it's also the reality. When you're cash strapped, you have to do things like go after second tier players, or in this case, guys that are potentially higher end players that have injury concerns. So Andre Smith was a second tier player with injury concerns.
This free agency class, it's the Arizona Cardinals, the if healthy free agent class. It's a really good if healthy free agent class.
Right. Sam Bradford's a top 12 quarterback in the NFL if healthy. Justin Pugh's a top seven guard at his position if healthy. And so that's the thing, though, is when you're in the financial straits you're in, you can't go and get an Andrew Norwell at, what, $14 million a year or $15 million, whatever it is. Yes, he's 25 and he's an all-pro, but you can't do that. You just don't have the money. You can't compete for Kirk Cousins and Drew Brees. You just can't, because you don't have the money. I mean, one of the things, the kind of heard things is that both Cousins and Brees, their contracts were going to be, you know, similar-ish to to Bradford's this year, and you're talking about a 15, maybe $20 million cap hit. We're not talking we're not talking the $30 million that they're getting, right? Their cap hit would have been really low, and then they would have basically both gotten in the $40 million range. That's what the Cardinals had to do to make all that stuff work. Whereas you can do the same thing with Bradford and Pugh, but guess what? You don't have to guarantee nearly as much money for Sam Bradford as you do Kirk Cousins. You don't have to guarantee nearly as much money for Justin Pugh as you do Andrew Norwell. So yeah, you're getting kind of you're still getting probably tier one players, but again, it comes back to what Jess said, if healthy. But that's the way the Cardinals had to roll this year just because of salary cap concerns. And that's the thing. I'm not concerned with Pugh's back. He's had back issues. They say it's cleared up. They say he'll be fine. If in training camp he's missing, you know, every couple of days, then yes, let's start to get concerned. What I'm more – and concern's not even the right word. What I'm more interested in is how they align this, because as Josh Sitton so eloquently put it, is going from left guard to right guard is like trying to wipe your, and I'll say bottom, with your left hand when you're right-handed. So this isn't – so whether it's Pugh or Upati, this isn't going to be this easy transition. And guess what? We saw that last year with Jared Valdir, right? Jared Valdir was legitimately awful as a right tackle. And he knew he was awful because he thought about retiring. He's like, this isn't good. So that's what I'm more interested in, is how the Cardinals come out. Because there's literally a number of variations that you can see. But the one that kind of I keep coming back to is that they're going to go from left to right, you know, Humphreys, Upati, Shipley, or Bame. And then maybe it's going to be Andre Smith at right guard and then Pugh at right tackle. Because that number, $9 million, I know that guards, as you said, guards are getting paid a lot. And so he's, even when it's inflated the next couple of years, he's still going to be down there. But doesn't that money sound more like tackle money than guard money?
It does. Even Pugh said he wasn't completely sure what is it. It'll probably be guard. So that will be interesting to see what happens, especially what happens in the first couple of rounds of the draft, where it seems like the best value for your picks is going to come in round two. And there are a couple of very nice, our favorite buzzword for the draft, which is for offensive linemen, plug and play type guards. When you got Billy Price, James Daniels, you know, Dorian Johnson was supposed to be a plug and play guard. That didn't work out.
But see, again, he had medical concerns.
Yes.
And so that's the thing that, you know, and this is another show, but that has to be gotten away from. Troy Nicholas, medical concerns, right? Coming out, like, everybody knew about it. Dorian Johnson, medical concerns. Like, I get that you think you're getting a steal in the draft, but at least take guys with medical concerns that have played in the NFL and, you know, whose bodies we can see whether or not they've held up. But again, that's another discussion for another day.
So coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Ridge podcast, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the guys who have left. And yet we don't need to talk about Josh Bynes. It was a nice re-signing when it was coming, but we're going to talk about the guys who have left. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. And before we go back to the show, I want to make sure that you guys, I give a shout out once again to our friends over at Harrys.com. You've heard me talking about them for months now. Harrys.com. Harrys gives you a great shave at a great price. I've talked to you week after week about the switch that I made from the electric razor to the Harry's blade. You're going to love how close the shave is. You're going to love the foaming gel. And if you haven't taken advantage of it, please take advantage of the deal that we've got, where you can get the trial set, the trial shave set, which comes with the foaming shave gel. It's fantastic. It smells great. It feels great on the skin. You get the blade, you get the handle, you get the 5-blade German engineered blade head, and you get that for just the cost for $3. For $3, you get all of that. And then if you decide to keep going, guess what? It's only $2 a blade to replace them, about $2 a blade. And to get that deal, to test it out, make and if you want, you can make the change that 3 million other men around the, across the country have done as well. You go to harrys.com/cred and you get that trial shave set for just $3. It's the cost of shipping. You won't regret it. That's harrys.com/cred. We're back on the Rise Up C-Red podcast, and we're going to talk about the guys that have left. We've got a few guys who have signed elsewhere, who are headed elsewhere. Obviously, the highest profile was that of Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu was released after he was offered a couple of pay cuts, and he now signs a one-year deal with the Houston Texans, $6.5 million up to $7 million possible. And which is technically $1 million less than what the Cardinals were offering him to stay. How do you feel about the ultimately with the decision that was made? The fact that the Cardinals went to him, they offered him a pay cut, they didn't offer a restructure, and then ultimately they cut him.
It was one of those situations where you felt like when Kent Summers put out the report that they were in negotiations for a restructure, obviously it came out more that it was a pay cut, right? Like it was a straight cut of pay.
Yes, yes. And in fact, I had written last week, I said, you know, restructuring would have been foolish. It would have been foolish for them to do unless he was going to take significant pay cuts next year. We could have still paid him the $11 million he was due this year and restructured, but he had to take a pay cut down the line for that to work. And he wasn't willing to do it.
Right. And so, you know, when you had hope, but there are a couple things at play here. One, you have to understand the relationship between Mathieu and Bruce Arians. And I truly believe that if Arians is the head coach of this team, it's probably done. You know, this is just speculation on my part, but I think he probably stays. But without Arians, he's going to be coached by a new coach. He's going to be used in a different way because Steve Wilks utilizes, you know, defensive backs in different ways. It was probably as much about surrounding issues as it was about the pay cut itself. And so, you know, he's betting on himself. He's tweeted that out quite a bit. I'm gambling on myself. I could have taken the money, but I believe in myself that I can get more. And so now he's going to go to Houston and team up with a lot of talent that, if healthy, right? Like the Arizona Cardinals of the AFC, apparently, if healthy, that team's one to watch, but that's a lot of talent that's had injury issues over the last several years. So, you know, it's going to be tough to go to games and not see, you know, that number 32 out there, but it is what it is at this point. It's unfortunate that, you know, he was prideful, but it's also unfortunate that it came to the point that he had to be asked to take a pay cut.
And the way the card contract was structured, it was always going to come down to this year, because that was the big decision year. Now, it did change things with the coaching change, because from what we haven't seen it yet, but what it appears is that Tyrann Mathieu was going to be playing safety next year. Like if he was on the roster, he wasn't going to be playing slot corner so much. That he was going to be played in a more he was going to be playing in a more traditional safety role. And if you're playing in a more traditional safety role, Steve Keim, we already know Steve Keim does not value the two safety positions, whether it's free safety or box safety, does not value them financially greatly or in terms of draft capital and things like that. They just don't pay them a lot. That's why they end up letting them all go or drafting them later in the draft. Buda Baker is able to do the same things that Tyrann Mathieu does. I don't know if he's going to be the guy that plays in the slot. I think Steve Wilks will probably want a more traditional cornerback guy playing in the slot as opposed to safety. We might not see the three safeties on the field anymore, like we've grown accustomed to seeing over the last 5 years. I thought it was inevitable that they're going to have to cut him. Then when the report came out, like you said, when Kent Summers was talking about they're in negotiations, okay, oh, there's a chance maybe they were going to keep him. Ultimately, it was exactly what I should have stuck with the gut and said, yeah, there was no way they were going to do that, because Matthew wasn't going to want to take a pay cut because he feels he's a premier player in the league still, and the Cardinals no longer were going to pay him as a premium player because he wasn't going to be playing a premium position. The reason why he got so much money is because partly was because his play at safety, but the value he had as a slot cornerback, which has a greater value than safety. And so if he's just going to be playing safety, he's going to be playing. He's, you know, they offered, in terms of value in the league, what they offered him was fair. They offered him, you know, a $5 million pay cut. So instead of making $11 million in cash, he's going to take $6 million. Okay, that meant they low. But then they came back with $8 million. $8 million playing safety? That's fantastic money. That's still great, great money. And as we're going to see, as he plays with Houston, he's going to play for $7 million if he's healthy all year, $6.5 to $7 million. I don't begrudge I don't feel bad. I knew that when Buda Baker was drafted a year ago, that the clock was ticking on Tyrann Mathieu's time here. So I don't begrudge him for not wanting to take the pay cut, because guess what? They had agreed to a contract that would pay him that much. The Cardinals had the right to release him. And he landed on his feet. He will have the potential to be a huge playmaker again, because you got J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney in front of him. You've got a very talented defense. Romeo Crennel running that defense now should be pretty good. So I look forward to seeing how he does, especially since the Cardinals don't have to play the Texans this year until the Super Bowl. So we won't have to worry about playing against him.
If everybody's healthy, Super Bowl, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and that you kind of hit it on the head there. He was going to be asked to either play one or two more of a traditional role.
Remember, he struggled last year with the start.
Well, it's not what he's there for. And that's what, you know, is kind of tough, is that Buda played more of that kind of strong safety role. He wasn't playing a free safety. He's playing more of a strong safety role. Yeah, exactly. And he played about 18% of the snaps in the slot, and he played like 30% of his snaps in the box as like a linebacker. And then he played the remaining about 50% of his snaps as kind of that shallow safety. And so, like you said, Buda's probably not going to be the guy that replaces him. They're going to likely bring in a more traditional type slot corner, and find somebody or still allow Buda to do kind of what Steve Wilks has done a little bit with Shaq Thompson, and who's, yes, I know he's a linebacker, but who plays some different roles in nickel coverage, which is really base coverage in the NFL.
The guy who actually got perhaps the biggest deal with the Cardinals league is Kareem Martin. He's one of the guys the Cardinals wanted to bring back.
Can you believe that? I
was shocked. Which tells me he gets a 3-year deal, $21 million to go to the Giants. He's going to be playing for James Betcher, which means Betcher and the Giants see him as a solid number two pass rusher. Because if you remember, Alex Okafor, he got, what was it, $4.5 million? To become a potential starter there. And he was a guy who had sack production. He had 8 sacks in a season. Kareem Martin, super athletic, but he's going to go play in the same scheme as before. But yeah, I was shocked at that. And knowing that I'm the money that I got, I was like, ooh, I'm now going to be kind of excited to see what he does without Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden ahead of him. If he's going to now, because it seemed like he finally figured out the linebacker position. He was very solid against the run. We all know the athleticism, the potential he had as a pass rusher. And when he got to the quarterback, he was disruptive, but he never put up sack numbers.
Right. And that's the tough thing that doesn't make sense. $7 million a year for a guy that is not a pass rusher. And so, like you said, they must view him as that. It's a real baffling contract, if we're being completely honest. Nothing we saw coming, right? Like,
no.
But it does create an interesting hole on the roster, if you will. The Cardinals have really nothing after Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden at the defensive end position. Kareem Martin was a guy that many of us speculated, okay, maybe this will be kind of what turns around or makes his career if they brought him back on like a 1 year, $3 million deal, right? Not 7 million over three, or not 21 million over 3 years. And so when you sit there and you go, okay, well, how do we reason this? And then you release Josh Morrow, which is a cut that you and I both agreed on, that we saw coming.
They obviously didn't see him as being their defensive end depth guy, because
he's more of a traditional 3-4 defensive end than a 43 defensive end, which again I think tells you that they're kind of hedging towards going more towards that 43 defense, whether it be in year one or over the next, you know, season or two. But the craziest thing is they're in play for a defensive end at this point, right? Because Marcus Golden's in a contract year coming off a knee injury. They don't have anybody else on the roster. I mean, I who else is going to play there? Honestly, I don't even know. And so when you look at it, you went from, wow, outside linebackers, a real strength of the Arizona Cardinals, to now you're going, huh, who are the edge guys on this roster? Because you know you have Chandler Jones, and you're hoping it's Marcus Golden, but we don't even know how he's going to play there because he hasn't done it in the NFL. So it's a real conundrum, and it was one of those things where, you know, I think everybody wanted Kareem Martin back. And then once they saw the contract, they were like, no, I'm good. Yeah, that's all right. You know, good luck with that.
And it is interesting because another one of the guys who released Josh Morrow, and they tendered him. They tendered Xavier Williams, which I was surprised at to begin with. But then they just let him go and sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. So that tells you in terms of they're not going to need the number of defensive tackles to play, because now they're only going to have two actual defensive tackles on the field. And as of right now, you've got four guys. So you've got Corey Peters, and you've got Olsen Pierre, and you've got Robert Kendiche, and you've got Rodney Gunter. Four guys to fill those two slots. That's your rotation. Unless they decide to shift one outside, maybe Olsen Pierre, you can slide him outside. In fact, maybe Robert Kendiche, you can slide outside, and it'd be a little bit different because he is big and he can be super disruptive from the inside. But maybe they move one of those guys outside because, yeah, like you said, they don't have anyone to play the edge. And we even have questions whether Marcus Golden will be even suited for that position.
Right. So it's going to be really interesting to watch, because now all of a sudden, you know, we've talked about a little bit, slightly, we've talked about tackle, obviously quarterback in the draft, but what about a guy like Harold Landry all of a sudden, right? They're sitting at 15, Harold Landry sitting there, all the quarterbacks that they're interested in are gone. You know, you've talked about that trade down scenario, but Harold Landry makes a lot of sense, and Steve Wilks is a proponent of that front seven doing the work. They don't invest. His philosophy has never really been to invest in the secondary. They drafted three linebackers in the first round. They had two first round guys on the defensive line and two second round guys. Like, their investment are up front. The Cardinals mirror that in some ways, but they still, you know, they still may need another guy. And so when you look at it, you go, okay, what are they going to do here? How are they going to make it work? And obviously, as we've talked about, they don't have any money for that in free agency. And so now it comes to the draft. And so you look at it and you go, huh, there's a lot of interesting scenarios playing out now that when this offseason started, we looked at it and go, okay, they need to improve the quarterback, obviously. offensive line and wide receivers. Well, they addressed the first two in free agency. They're trying to address the third, but they're kind of low on cash right now. And so, but now you're going, oh, you know, they probably need two cornerbacks and they need a defensive end and maybe another linebacker. Wow. I didn't realize that they had all those needs still. So
they have not brought back. So Justin Bethel, they don't appear to be interested in bringing back. He's visiting the Atlanta Falcons. Carlos Dansby has gotten a visit with the Buffalo Bills. The most surprising signing so far has been Matt Barkley. He's the first of the Cardinals quarterbacks to get a contract. He gets a 2-year deal with the Cincinnati Bengals. Shocked. Drew Stanton is reportedly in negotiations with a team or two. Blaine Gabbert is getting a look in at Tennessee. Other than that, Jerron Brown. Also, the two Browns, they have new homes. John Brown in Baltimore on a 1-year prove-it deal. Jerron Brown to Seattle. I think I heard it. I haven't seen the extra the contract numbers, but I heard it was $3 million. Jerron might be a guy that comes back and hurts them, but he was part of the problem last year. He has potential to be good, and I think he might thrive in Seattle. John Brown, we'll see what happens in Baltimore. That could be interesting to see. But I haven't felt – there hasn't been anyone who has left that is the part of the Cardinals. I thought, oh, man, except for Kareem Martin, but then at the contract that he got, I'm like, oh, well, how are the Cardinals going to pay him that much to be a backup?
Right, exactly. And so when you look at who they've lost, Xavier Williams, I don't think he really fit what they're moving towards, especially with the rotation of Corey Peters, Olsen Pierre, Robert Kendiche, and Rodney Gunter, four guys in the interior. You're not going to need you didn't need Xavier Williams. He was a nice story, and he did a good job when he got on the field. But, you know, he's not a guy that fit what they were looking to do. And the Browns, you know, it's an unfortunate circumstance, but again, new offensive coordinator, new offensive system, new offense and new guys, right? And so, you know, neither of those guys made themselves into must keep type players, guys that you had to have back. And now you kind of turn the chapter or turn the page on that chapter. And it's, I think more than anything, it's the nostalgia of it, right? That, and the what ifs that you'll have on these questions. Because 2017 was not what anybody hoped it would be. But you look back at 2014, 2015, and 2016, and you just kind of say, what if? And that's the unfortunate thing. But as far as playing, well, I don't know if you're really going to miss any of those guys.
Right. And let's wrap that part up and coming back on the next section. When we come back on Rise Up C-Red, we're going to talk about, what do the Cardinals still need to do? What do they still need to address? And what's the status of their salary cap? So that's coming up next on the final segment of Rise Up C-Red. We're back on Rise Up C-Red. We know what the Cardinals have done. We know if they've let go. What do they still need to do? And there's a couple of positions that have been glaring absences and moves. One, receiver. They haven't taken a thing. There is the report of Jordan Matthews coming in. No movement there. No other interest in any receivers, apparently, that's been reported. Jordan Matthews would be a nice addition. Again, one of those, if healthy. Plus, he's got the connection with Sam Bradford. Had a fantastic year when Bradford was thrown to him, but... But thus far, they have to do something to receive them. They have to. You can't go into the season. You can't go into the draft going Fitz, Chad Williams, J.J. Nelson, and Carl Nagodosi. You can't do that. That doesn't make any sense at all.
What? That's not a good receiving unit.
It might become that.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's. And that's the thing. That's where you're at right now. You're saying to yourself, okay, well, we really can't go into this season with what we have. So you're putting pressure on yourself to find guys that in other words, you're going to have to make more moves, possibly create other holes, but you're noticing the holes that they're creating outside of the Tyrann Mathieu hole. The holes they're creating are really like depth holes, right? Josh Morrow, losing Kareem Martin. You know, if they move on from Veldier, all of those things are like depth. They're not guys that the immediate starters, but there's legitimately a need for an immediate starter at wide receiver. The other place that there's a need for an immediate starter, and I'm really shocked that they haven't been in the market, is tight end.
Oh my gosh, yes. Like you can't go like. They have a torn Achilles, Jermaine Gresham. Now, Sam Bradford loves him because they were teammates at Oklahoma. You've got Ricky Seals-Jones. And, yeah. Surprise. Right, exactly.
And so, like, so where's that? Maybe they're looking at, a guy late, cheap, type things. But there's some names available in terms of free agents still, right? Like there's some guys that make sense still. You talked about Jordan Matthews, obviously. He'd be a great fit. And it sounds like you're talking about $3 to $5 million for him. Maybe you give him some incentives to carry that a little higher, but Jeremy Macklin's another interesting one. He's got a rapport with Bradford a little bit. But Mercedes Lewis was just cut out of Jacksonville. He's not necessarily going to be anything more than a blocking tight end and kind of a security blanket. But that's kind of what the Cardinals need at this point, right? Honestly, they need anything, but that's kind of what they need at this point. It's getting to the point where you're wondering what the next move is. But I think part of the hesitation is they're really trying to get guys on deals that make sense for them and not necessarily are beneficial to the player. And that's something that Steve Keim is notorious for. He's notorious for making shrewd deals and being almost cheap to a point. And I'm not saying he's cheap, but almost to a point where you say he's being cheap in the sense that he is, putting it out there that he's not going to go above what he's offering. What he's offering is what he's offering. And there's nothing, he's not going to go up. He's not going to raise it any, and he's not going to change it. And so, it's an interesting way to negotiate, but it is the Steve Keim way, right? We all saw the story that the Cardinals made an offer to Justin Pugh. He didn't sign it. And then he got a call from the Indianapolis Colts. My speculation was he was trying to see what guaranteed money the Colts were willing to offer before he made that decision. But it's not like Keim went back and said, okay, we'll give you more money. Keim said, well, that's the offer. Like you either sign it.
I think he got an extra year because what I had heard for reports is that they were making him a four-year offer.
Yeah.
And then it turned out to be five. So they might have upped the offer. They might have given him an extra year because of the interest from Indy. Yeah. But yeah, that's how Keim does it. And we're starting to reach that point in free agency where it's the more minimum deals or the near minimum deals, the prove it deals. And unfortunately that's all the Cardinals can really offer at this point in terms of money, because they just don't have any flexibility. They don't have any flexibility as of right now. As of Tuesday morning, they had $12.3 million in cap space. And while you see the guess that you got some room to move with that, I think that should go up. That'll probably go up to almost 14. Once Xavier Williams' cap hit comes off the books. But you because of the way they've structured subcontracts, they're going to need to keep around $6 million in reserve for those roster bonus incentives for being active on game days. And they're going to need another $6 million for the draft picks. and they're going to need another $3 to $4 million for injured reserve people. So they're like right now. Now, granted, the signing bonus stuff that can be covered by Valdir's contract, but they really don't have much room at all. And so, and the other position that they haven't done anything with is cornerback. Tremon Williams, they're supposed to want to bring back. He got paid $2 million last year. He's probably going to want $3 or $4 million, but at 35, how much is he going to get? Is he going to have to take two? Is he going to have to take a pay cut? Because they got him off the streets at training camp and they still paid him $2 million. They bring in AJ Gaines. Haven't seen what's happened there. And what I've been told is that Gaines is their backup plan to Tremon Williams. There also has some reported interest in Robert McClain. Had a stint, couple of stints with the Panthers. He's little, can play some safety, probably would play more in the slot if they got him.
Yeah, and so again, you're at the point where you're talking about Tremon Williams and you're saying, man, do we even have $3 million for this guy? Like that's where they're at right now, and it's the unfortunate part of this part of the free agency is it's all fun, right? until you run out of money, and then you're going, man, I'd really like to sign Jordan Matthews right now, but I don't have $6 million. And man, wouldn't it be nice to pick up EJ Gaines and Tremon Williams for about $9 million total? No, I don't have $9 million total. So So, Robert McClain, a kind of a journeyman type cornerback. What are you up to? Are you comfortable with $1.5-$2 million? Like that's where you're at now, and it's unfortunate, but it's also the reality of their situation. It's the reality of the NFL right now because all that money went real quick. The only teams that have money right now are trying to woo Ndamukong Suh, and so that like Ndamukong Suh is the one guy that's going to get paid again, but because the first week of free agency was so prolific in terms of salary, it's still going to take a little, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a hit to guys that they weren't expecting.
And, you know, any other position that they really need to address, that potentially they should have their returner taken care of with TJ Logan. They've got guys on the roster who can return kicks, running back. They don't really need to do anything. Offensive line, they're kind of taken care of. That really kind of takes care of everything. Obviously, we're going to start looking forward to the, we're going to look toward the draft as over the next few weeks, and that's what we'll start talking about as of probably. I think we'll start talking about the draft next week. But is there anything else that the Cardinals absolutely really have to do before the draft?
I think they have to get a wide receiver, as you talked about. Like, I think out of every other position, you feel comfortable with bringing in guys kind of off the street or coaching up, right? But wide receiver, you really feel like you'd really like to see one veteran next to Fitz in there at this point.
And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast, letting you guys know, of course, you can find us all over the place. If you have Apple Podcasts, go ahead and subscribe. Give us a great rating. We'd love that. Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio. You can find us on each of our websites on RevengeOfTheBirds.com, on CardsWire.com. You can find us on Blog Talk Radio, on Audio Boom, and pretty much any place where you can find podcasts, you can find our show. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. As always, go Cardinals. The Cardinals always say to rise up Red Sea. We're also going to say to rise up and see Red.